See everyone out this morning. Everybody's looking all wide awake, and all the men's full. And teenagers is probably full. And if just some of y'all go missing during service, there's biscuits probably still down there. We had a great service this morning. Our brotherhood, first one we've had in a while, and had a good turnout. And some of the best cooks I've ever eaten, probably. Bacon was probably some of the best. It was all good. We had some gravy that we almost lost, and we was able to revive it. And somebody said there's a problem when gravy looks like chicken and dumplings. But it turned out good. Jonathan was able to, his firefighting skills, he was able to revive it. He was giving it water back there and a little heat and fixed it up. But we had a good service, good time, great message. Remember our brotherhood service and come out next time. We would love to have that place full down there, and looking forward to it growing. And if you're here this morning, a visitor, we welcome you. Just make yourself at home. And we got a busy time coming up in the next couple of weeks. Remember, I'm not supposed to do announcements, but I'm going to throw this deacon's ordination in there. Next Sunday, we'll be having deacon ordination service. Starts at 6. If you're an ordained guy, want to be involved in the ordination council, be here at 5:30. And the reason I said this is I want you to be in prayer for them. Be much in prayer for these men. It's a very serious time in their lives and opportunity to serve as God would have them to serve. So be much in prayer for them. And do we have any more prayer requests before we go into our service? There's some families here in town that has lost loved ones, and some that's very sick. So remember those in your prayers. I know we got a Scott Norton, our friend, that we're having the benefit for. Remember him. His foot is still not looking good. I don't know if that means he's got to have more surgery to take more of it off or what. But if there's ever been one that's been through the mill, he has been. This has been a rough. It's been going since November, and here we are into March, and he's still in the hospital. I cannot imagine the discouragement that must be in his life and in his wife's life right now. I just can't imagine it. But pray for him and pray that God's will is done in this matter, as I know it will be. Anyone else?
Just remember the Padgett family.
Amen. Do we have any more? Not. I'm looking forward to our singing service this morning. I heard a little one of them shaking their head. We got a new one that's trying out, and I think we're supposed to vote for him after service. I saw on Facebook he already got one down, thumb down. I don't know. I think Stephanie was cutting up with him, but no, Brandon's going to sing one this morning. It was great practicing Wednesday night, so pray for them. A singing service is a big part of a church service. It gets the spirit moving, and you can't hardly preach without a great song service. Anyone else? Rudy, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to come to your house. God, we thank you for so much that we've already heard and experienced this morning through the brotherhood. God, I pray for our church as a whole. I especially pray for Brother Chad this morning as he brings the message. God, just lift him up, use him, use his words, use his actions, Father, use his facial expressions, Father, to get your word and your message across. God, I pray for our music this morning, Father, that, Lord, I just pray that it be uplifting and be honoring to you. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Broken generation, when all is We believe in the crucifixion. We believe. There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I
is turned off back there. No, it was good. I appreciate that song service. That was great. Boy, it's exciting this morning. If you don't, like Rudy said the other night, if that don't get your fire going, your wood's wet. We learned at my house the other night what happens when you got wet wood. It takes a long time to get a fire. But the message the Lord's laid on my heart today is one that's, again, very familiar scripture. You probably heard it preached and taught on hundreds of times, but it's one the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. It's about the woman with issue of blood. She'd had it 12 years. And boy, I didn't think about that and how she had searched and searched and searched for a cure for that issue of blood, and how the writers you read about said she was probably outcast because some believe it was from a female standpoint. In that day, they was put over to the side and kind of kept out of the population while that time was going on. So if that was the case, she was by herself 12 years. And we tend to think about, we read these stories in our Bible, which are not stories because they're true, but we read these true things in our Bible, and we begin to put them people on different levels than me and you are. But this woman with the issue of blood stood at the same place that me and you have stood at one time or another. Or if you don't know the Lord today, you may be standing there. She had an issue of blood. And I have studied this a lot this week, and the Lord's laid some things on my heart that I'd never seen before in this message. I'd preached it before and never saw this. And it's amazing how this book is alive. And amen. Every time you preach something, you see something different in it. But I thank God for laying the message on our heart this morning. You got your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. Like, this is very familiar. You have heard it and heard it, but I hope we see some things in it today that will help us that we haven't seen before. Give you just a minute. I still hear pages flip. Mark's the second book, by the way, New Testament, Pat. And I heard Pat playing a Red Book song when I was in the bathroom, by the way. I couldn't get out fast enough. She quit. But she's teasing that way. The one on her piano now is burgundy. I noticed that. She don't got the green one anymore, so she's heading that way. But this morning, on a serious note for a little while, was God's help, we're going to preach about this woman. And verse 25 of chapter number 5 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Father, we thank you this morning for this message. Father, we pray that you touch our bodies for just a little bit. Lord, we pray that you'll be in our midst most of all, that don't matter the words I preach, if your power's not here, it's just a bunch of words. Lord, I pray that you touch a congregation this morning. If there be one here that has an issue of blood, Father, I pray that you touch it this morning. And Father, that you cleanse them from all unrighteousness so they can have a home with you and never have to fear that awful, awful place called hell. Lord, we pray that you go with us through the rest of our service, and everything we do here will uplift your Son, Jesus' name. In his name we do pray. Amen. If I had a title for this message, and I have caught myself titling them more than I ever have lately, I think I'm getting older or something, I don't know. But the title I put on this, Have You Touched Jesus? We say a lot of times that he must touch you, but have you touched Jesus? Have you touched Jesus? This woman had been suffering 12 long years, had tried everything there was. Boy, I begin to think about the world we live in today and how many preachers and teachers are teaching that there's many other ways for satisfaction. We talked about it in our class this morning. I begin to think, man, it's going right along with our message. Of all the things they're putting out there, you can try. It's every way. We hear that you can try money. You can try positions at your work. You can try relationships and all this stuff, and you can be made whole. They teach that. Self-help books are at an all-time high. I've never bought one, but they say they've got them. Dummies for this and dummies for that, or driving for dummies. That's the one Abby needs. I don't know where she's at, but she needs that one. But I'll move on. And some of these other teenagers need that one. But you can, all these self-help books are supposed to help us. But I'm afraid today that what we've missed out on is the great physician. He's still touching people. He's still touching lives. And she had tried all these other things. And can you imagine where she must have been? In that day, there wasn't jobs as we have today. There wasn't a job on every corner. And I know they're hard to get today still. But there wasn't everywhere. And this woman, she had spent everything she had. She had tried all that she could do to be made whole. That's all she longed for, was to be made like everybody else. So she could eat and she could be in the midst of people and walk around and not have to worry about this issue of blood for all those days. And I begin to think about her and, man, how many sick we have in our world today, and they have cancers and different sicknesses, and we got people that we love suffering from it right now, and all of us do. It has touched our lives. But the issue of blood that I want to see today is the issue that me and you had at one point, if we hadn't got it fixed yet, and that's the issue with this blood that we have is a human blood. And I believe that's the issue that Jesus was allowed this to be put in the scriptures for, that me and you could see. If y'all remember, I preached a message about the virgin birth. And in that, I told a little bit about Dr. Dehan's book he wrote in the 40s about the blood. And how our blood is, God made it in a miraculous way. But how this blood we have today in our bodies comes, you can trace it all the way back to Adam. And that blood that Adam had, me and you still have some of it. And the problem with that blood is, yes, it goes to my heart and it makes it work and it goes to my brain and all those other things. But the most important thing about that blood is it was sinful. It had an issue. There was something wrong with it. When you have an issue with something, there's a problem there. So there's a problem with that blood that me and you have today. And thank God that one day on a cross called Calvary, that issue was fixed forever. And no longer does men have to suffer from that if they choose not to. They're given a choice. Now, I believe the Bible teaches we must be drawn to the Spirit of God. And if we are, we can be saved. I believe that today. But there's many people walking around with the issue of blood that had much longer than 12 years because they've never seen an opportunity or never realized the opportunity to be made whole. But this woman this day is about to see something. I want you to see me and you stood in the same place with that old human blood we had. They had an issue. They had a problem. You see, this flesh and blood cannot stand in front of a holy God. It's my righteousness, everything I do, every message I preach, every good deed I do for somebody, the Bible says is filthy rags. It's no good. I cannot bring it before a holy God and say, here, was this enough? God, was this enough of what I did on earth? Is this going to get me in? You know what he'll say? Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, the only thing that will stand before a holy God is to have that issue of blood fixed. And that only comes from that washing of that precious blood of the Lamb through his Son. It's the only thing that will fix that issue of blood. So she had tried 12 years. Had spent all she had. She had been to every doctor. Been in our community. She had been from Atlanta to Birmingham. Tried them all. She may have been out to Texas and tried the great doctors out there and all these things. But listen, there was still nothing that could be done. All life, you realize this, everything that's alive today, that's a living organism as far as animal life, has blood in it. It has blood flowing through the veins because the life is in the blood. But listen, that's one thing we've got to understand today. This blood is not enough. It took a perfect sacrifice to cleanse us of all this. If you go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it tells us some about this. It says, now most all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. So you see, because we had an issue with this blood, something had to be done to fix it, and all it took was the blood of Jesus. Now you can trace this blood sacrifice all the way back to the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve first sinned, what happened? God had to kill an animal, didn't he? God had to slay an animal to cover them with the skin of an animal. So there was bloodshed there that day. And if you remember something, Adam and Eve tried something because they realized they had an issue with the blood. What does it say? It said Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. So when God came into the garden, have you realized what God said? Why are you naked? Then they said, why are you hiding? God said, why are you hiding? They said, because we're naked. He said, who told you was naked? You'd realize something, they weren't naked, they had on fig leaves. But they realized they was naked because God hadn't covered them. They had tried on their own to fix the problem that had come in their lives through sin. They tried to fix it on their own. They had tried physicians, so to speak, and nothing would work. But God clothed them, and there you have the first sacrifice. So the only way our sins can be washed away is by the shedding of some whole blood, some perfect blood, some spotless blood. And may I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is still enough. is still enough. Every bit that was shed on that cross is enough blood to cleanse all mankind. And by the way, he didn't spill it, he shed it. If you spill something, it's an accident. If you shed it, it was on purpose. He purposed to shed his blood for you today. He purposed to shed his blood for me so he could fix this issue. I want you to see this woman. I want you to see where she started. First thing I want you to see is she looked. She looked. You go here to Matthew 5:26. Listen to what it says. And he had suffered many, she had suffered many things of many physicians. And it's been all that she had and was nothing better, but she grew worse. Man, she looked everywhere. She had tried everything. She had been to all the herbal stores they had in that day to figure out how to fix this problem. She had went to this great one and that great one. And some of our community said, have you tried Dr. So-and-so over here? She said, I think I'll go try that. And have you tried this? And man, she looked everywhere she could, but listen, the problem still existed. Many people today trying the same tactics as her. They buy all those different kind of books and listen to all these different kind of things. And their problem is lying. They don't have Jesus Christ. I've heard many preachers preach, and man, some of the great ones will tell you that we don't have a drug problem in our country. We don't have an alcohol problem in our country. We don't have a problem with no jobs in our country. We have a heart problem in our country. People's heart are not right with the Lord. Now listen, I know that your heart can be right with the Lord, and you still need physicians. God made great physicians that doctor me and you on a daily basis. But listen, the great physician is Him. She tried all the remedies the world had to offer. Man, have you thought about this? I'm not going to call any names, but she had tried everything. She had had her ear pierced for headaches. And I'm going to keep going because I'm getting some ugly looks. But that just happened to come, and I thought it was funny. She had tried all these things, and guess what? The headaches persisted. But listen, she had tried all the remedies that was out there. She had tried them. She tried everywhere. She was looking. She was trying to see where the problem was. Listen today, I believe there's a world outside those doors that are looking for a solution to their problems. And everywhere they're looking to drugs, they're looking to all these different things we've already talked about this morning. But in everything they try, they've got to have some more. They've got to have some more. It's not enough. They can drink this and it's not enough. They've got to get something stronger. They can take this drug and it's not enough very long. The high goes away. You've got to take some more. You've got to keep on taking and taking and taking. And there's never a remedy for this thing. But listen, once we get the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says it's a well ever springing up that never runs out. You see, the problem with us is we're looking for something to replace something with that'll only be replaced with what originally had left. And that's relationship with God. That relationship was broken at the day in the Garden of Eden. It was broken. And we spend all of our lives, many people do, searching for what was missing. We fill it with all kind of junk and all kind of things and take our time up. And many leave this walks of life and never find what they was looking for. They leave here without God. Never find it. Listen, you cannot replace something that's missing. If you've got a puzzle and there's a piece missing, you know the only piece that'll go there? The one that was designed to go there. You can put another piece there, but it won't be whole. It'll look like something's missing because it is. You can only replace it with what thing was missing, but she had tried all the remedies. And boy, she had spent all she had. She had spent every bit of money. She had tried it. Have you ever met a rich person that had an addiction? Not saying it don't happen. There are some. But most of the time, if you meet somebody that has some type of addiction, they'll spend all they have to try to get it field. They'll spend everything they have. They'll do these things. They'll spend all it takes. And man, I've read about people who had a lot of money and they got involved in relationships that wasn't godly. And it took all their money and everything, and all they could get a hold of to try to make it. It can't happen. She spent all she had. I believe she even probably borrowed from some family, saying, here, I need this to try to get my issue of blood fixed. I can do this. And boy, once we try to feel something that's missing, we'll try to get a hold of everything we can. We'll wait till we completely expend it before we'll truly find out where our help is. So she had looked everywhere. Maybe some here this morning has been looking in life for what's missing. You may be looking, trying to find out. Many people don't realize it. Many people don't admit it. But there's people even in our Baptist churches today who have looked for 40 and 50 years to try to find what's missing in their life, and they hear it preached every Sunday, they hear it sang every Sunday, and they just don't realize it. Their eyes is not open. She had looked at all this. She had looked at it. And then looking, she had spent all she could. But then she began to listen. I never noticed this in the scripture. She began to listen. Let me read this to you. Verse 27, I'm just going to read the first part. And when she had heard of Jesus. Had y'all ever noticed that in that scripture? When she had heard of Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 7. Listen to what this says. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17. How then shall we have not believed? And how shall we believe in him who we have not heard? And how shall we hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the Lord, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard of Jesus. Now, how do you think this woman had heard of Jesus? How do you think it was possible for a woman who was an outcast, who couldn't be around anybody, how do you realize that she had heard of Jesus? And I think in this lies the greatest missing piece we have ever understood about this message is that one that told her about Jesus. Have you realized that? Somebody told this woman with an issue of blood about Jesus Christ. And let me ask you today, how many have you told about Jesus Christ? How many people out in our world that have an issue of blood, their blood's not right, they have not been saved, how many of y'all have told them about help? Listen, if you had a loved one that was dying with cancer, and you heard of that, there was a remedy in somewhere far off, where it be another country or another state, you know what you would do? You'd spend all you had to get them there. You would tell them, hey, this is where your help lies. You need to go to this place, they can heal you. You need to go there, they'll make you. You would go tell all of them. Of course we would. How many have we told about Jesus? How many have we told about him? Listen to what it says. And faith come by hearing. You want to know why many people are in our communities? We talked about it in Sunday school. It seems like we don't have people coming to church in this day and time. It seems like you have to beg people to come to the house of God. Have you ever thought about it? It might be that we're not telling them. Have you ever thought about it? It might be that we're not inviting. Thought about it? It might be we say, hey, is your faith in Jesus Christ? And they said, I've never heard of him. You say, wait a minute, preacher, it's impossible to live in Heflin, Alabama in 2017 and run across somebody that's never met Jesus Christ. It happens every day. It happens every day. Somebody has never heard of him. I've told y'all this story, but I got to tell it again because it's coming to my heart. I was working in Dorval, Georgia, selling tires. I was had to train with a guy for about 2 weeks, originally from California. He was about 40 years old. It was one Wednesday. We was down in Columbus, Georgia. I asked him, I said, what time do you think we'll be home? He said, why? You got somewhere to be? I said, yeah, we've got church tonight. He said, what's church? I began to tell him, and he says, I've never heard that. 40 years old, lived in Conyers, Georgia, had never heard about Jesus Christ. Can you believe that today? Listen, church, there's a country and missionaries over here to our country to tell people about Jesus Christ. A place where we can buy Bibles on every corner. There's more churches than we can shake a stick at. We've got more churches in Heflin and Ramburn and Cleburne County than most places in the world have. But listen, they've never heard of him. They've never heard. And immediately, you know what just come to your mind? I'm not a preacher. Because that scripture says, how should they hear? Well, preacher. But you begin studying your word, brother, and I believe you'll find out that we're all preachers. I believe you'll find out that we're all ministers. Listen, you've got just as much job to preach the gospel as I do. You know what? I can preach a million words up here, and I can never touch a soul. Because God has people you're to touch and people I'm to touch. But I'll tell you something. How you live your life in front of them is the way a lot of people hear about Jesus Christ. How many people have you told about? You see, they're looking. And they're listening. She was listening. Boy, I believe she listened to everything. You know why? She had a problem. She knew without that, Terry, she was going to die. Unless that blood problem got fixed, she wasn't long for this world. So everything somebody come up with, she run that way. You realize today some of the fastest growing religions in our country are stuff that don't mount to a hill of beans? Religions that are false because they don't the God of Israel and Jesus Christ are false religions? But people are flocking to them. Why? Because they're works-based. For some reason, us people think, if I can do something, I can earn it. What does it say? Faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. How many people have you told about Jesus Christ? Not more than that. How many people have you showed about Jesus through the scripture? How many people have you got your Bibles out and say, look, I've got the Word of God. And then they're going to say, this is what always comes up. Well, how do you know that yours is right? And then you know what you say? Brandon's teaching a class on it right now about apologetics. You know how you know? Because no other religion in our country or anywhere else claims to have a risen Savior. You know why they don't claim it? Because they don't have one. Me and you have one. We have a risen Savior. People's hunting forever. They tried to find his bones. Guess what? They're not there. They're in glory this morning. On the right hand is what the Bible tells us. It's where he's at. So they're listening. In all the chaos that's going on in our country, boy, there's much of it. Turn your news on. They're trying everything they can to mess things up right now. They can't stand it. But there's chaos going on every side. There's chaos. Everywhere you go, some type of chaos is taking place. It's so loud you can't even hear. People's arguing about this. They're arguing about that. In the midst of all this chaos, she's listening. The people is listening. They're trying to hear about a solution to their problem. And for some reason, me and you have come to the point of we've quit telling them because we think they won't believe it. Listen, it ain't mine your job to make them believe it. It ain't mine your job to save them. Bless God, it's mine your job to tell them. And once we tell them, guess what? It's the Spirit's job to save them. I can't save them anyway, Terry. I can tell them about a way to be saved. You can tell them about a way to be saved. But maybe the reason people's not be saved today is because they're not hearing it from me and you. That's not as fun, is it? It's funner to say, I'm not a preacher. That's your job, preacher, is to tell them. We say it all the time. The reason our country's not strong is we got false preachers. We got preachers standing in pulpits today that's false. Hey, there's no doubt we do. I'm standing there that's preaching false doctrine. I believe that. But the reason our churches are not growing, the reason our communities are not being changed, is we got a bunch of silent preachers out there in the pews. And some silent in the pulpit, by the way. So she's listening. She's listening. Listen, unless the lost hear about Jesus, according to the scriptures, they cannot be saved. And how do they get saved? Through faith. From hearing. And where do you got to hear it from? The Word of God. The Word of God. We live in a country, man, where it was almost against the law to stand and preach the Word of God. It got that close. It was almost there. But I want you to see something. I didn't have this in my thing, but this is too good to pass over. She had looked. She had listened. And then she begins getting on the way to see her way. You realize something? What a hard time she had getting to him. There was people all around him. There was people all around him. But this woman who had an issue of blood, who needed Jesus Christ, had to fight her way through there. Listen, church, I believe it's speaking to me and you today. There's people in our churches that's thronged all around Jesus, but nobody can get to him. You know why? Because we've all got our opinion. We've all got our agendas. We've all got this. And they teach us something in Bible college that makes a lot of sense. We don't need to preach our opinion. We need to preach the Word of God. And I need to tell them about Jesus and not what I believe about him, but what the Word of God says about him. But listen, why in the world did a woman that was in such bad shape have to try so hard to get to the Savior? There's people all around him. Shouldn't have those people got out of the way and said, come on through, honey? But no. You see, a woman in that shape, I don't believe she could hardly walk. She should have enough God about them to pick her up and bring her to Jesus. But listen, today the reason there's not many being touched by Jesus, the reason many is not touching Jesus, is because they cannot get through me and you. We're all around him, but they can't get through him. We'll be standing there saying, hey, come on, here he is. Here he is. You see, we get caught up in jealousies. We think our church has got to baptize more than this church this year. Failures. We think that our church got to have more in Sunday school about our numbers so it'll be right or we're failures. We got to have this and that. We need to quit comparing one another and start telling the lost world about Jesus Christ. Amen. And about showing them how to get to him and quit enthronging him around him so they can't make it there and start picking them up and toting them to it. Boy, she had looked. She had listened. Then she leaves. You realize this is a woman who was probably an outcast, who hasn't eaten, who didn't have an appetite, who was probably didn't, I can imagine she was probably for 12 years, she'd had this problem, and was probably very slim, probably couldn't walk very good. And she had heard, somebody had told her, have you tried Jesus? Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried just touching Jesus? And she said, you know what? It's Jesus. She had tried everything else. Why not Jesus? And the Bible says right here, listen, it says when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She was timid. She come up behind him and just reached out and touched that garment. Immediately, the Bible says virtue, which is translated power, come out of the Lord. And of all these people that was around him, he felt that touch. There's a difference in her touch and the touch of all those that was touching him. Faith. She came in faith. You know what faith is? Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She had completely no idea how Jesus was going to solve that problem. She couldn't understand in her mind how he could solve it. Everybody else had tried to solve it. There was no way to get it done, but all she knew to do was just reach, touch, and see if it might help. And guess what? She reached down, she touched the hem of that garment, and immediately it says she was made whole. The plague was gone, and she felt it. Now listen, I get worried about feelings sometimes and emotions. Stephanie, I tell you, it's one of the things I struggle with in churches is emotions. Emotions will fool you. But the truth is in the Word. If there's been a change in you, according to this, you can feel it. You can feel it. Now, emotions will lie to you. They will. Emotions can overrun us, make us think things are when they're not. They're dangerous. But according to this scripture, she knew when there was a change made.
Amen.
She took a leap of faith and she reached out and she touched the risen Savior. Well, he wasn't risen at this time. He hadn't died. But listen, she touched the Savior. She touched him, and immediately, you realize what faith to reach to touch him, but to have the strength to get to him. Remember, she couldn't walk like me and you. She was sick. She'd been sick for 12 years, probably laid in a bed somewhere, hospital to hospital and trying everything. But here, she thought, if I can just get to him, I can touch him. And if I can touch him, I can be better. I read one commentator said it might even been a superstitious faith. It may have been a little bit of faith. Tell us that faith a grain of mustard seed to move a mountain.
Amen.
Her mountain was moved that day.
Amen. Thank you.
She took a leap and she touched him. Listen, y'all, faith is hard. Faith is hard. You know why faith is hard? Because we can't understand it. We can't understand how in the world can I got a, you've told me, preacher, I've got a problem with sin, that it was born in me, that I can't do anything about it. I cannot escape it. I've got an issue with my blood. There's a problem with my, can't come before a holy God. That's the problem with my blood. So you've told me I got a problem. Now you expect me to believe that by faith, and I don't got to do anything, I can be made whole? No, I don't expect you to believe me, but I expect you to believe the Word of God. The Bible says that she touched him, she touched his clothes, and straightway the fountain of blood left. If you thought about this, at that point her blood was healed, but I think she still had a problem. I think she still had a spiritual issue of realizing who she just touched. Of realizing who she touched. It said, and Jesus immediately, knowing himself, the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Boy, what if you had enough faith today that Jesus Christ would turn around and say, who touched me? Boy, the Baptist church this morning touched me. We'd say, Jesus, there's churches all over the land preaching your name and singing about your name and people praying your name today. What do you mean, who touched you? Through faith. Who touched him this morning? Who touched him? It didn't take much faith, as me and you are looking at it today. Well, preacher, all she done is reached down and touched his clothes. That was a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. That was a man who made him. And here was a woman who couldn't even be in society, was reaching out and touching him. That seems dangerous. By faith, she was made whole. The disciple said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me? He looked round about and seen her done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she knew something was different. Listen, what had she done? She came and fell down before. At this point, ladies and gentlemen, her soul was saved by grace. What does the Bible say? Confess our sins. He is just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why will we not come tell him the truth? He already knows it. She fell down and she told him all the truth. I believe she confessed everything had ever been in her life before Jesus Christ. She told him everything. But boy, I like what his daughter. Ooh, she come in as, she come to him as an outcast of somebody who couldn't be around nobody. And all of a sudden, with a simple touch, she was made a daughter to the king. Does that not amaze you today? That's amazing grace. She touched him. Immediately, she became a daughter. She became a daughter. And boy, I like this part. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Me and you today, we Satan tries to make us question everything. That's his job. I've dealt with this. Well, Lord, when I was saved, did I say the right things? And you have to. Lord, did I really do this? God, was it right? I want to make sure I'm right, because listen, the Bible says the worst thing we can do is leave here without Jesus Christ. So we want to make sure that's right. But listen, we begin to question, did I do this? Did I do that? And according to my Bible, we're not saved by works. And all the stuff that I can do, Terry, it says faith made her whole. We are saved today when our faith moves. I believe the moment that a lost soul's in a pew and the brain tells the foot to move, I believe they're saved, Terry. I believe they're saved. I read a story. I didn't read a story. It was in Bible college. Stephanie went with me the other night to make sure I didn't have a girlfriend. I was really going to school. She found out, because we got out of there about 9:30, I think. But listen, he told a story about an old country preacher up in the hills, and he come and said he was a rough old man and big old man, and he weighed about 350, 400 pounds, and he was mean, didn't need anything to help him. But this guy kept inviting him to a meeting that night in a big auditorium, and he said, I ain't going. The guy kept on, said, come with me. I ain't going. Finally, they got him there, and he's in there, and they have an invitation hymn, and just sitting there looking down, and his buddy that had drug him to church told him, said, you need to move. He said, I ain't going nowhere. He told him as they kept singing, he said, you need to move. He said, I ain't moving. So his buddy said, if you'll just move your foot in faith, God will do the rest. I ain't doing it. Said he stood there and said, finally his old hand, big old hands began gripping the pew. His knuckles turned white. Said he told him again, if you'll move your foot, Jesus will meet you right here. But next thing he knew, he was walking down an aisle. And said the next thing he knew, he was running down an aisle. And said the next thing he knew, he was in an altar crying out to a holy God. This man preached all over the country. Many people come to Christ from one who simply just moved his foot out in the aisle. Faith. The faith, just to move that foot, made him whole, and it's what'll make you whole. Anything. Even Okri won't do that.
Amen.
I had to say that. Them kids been giving me a bad, hard time about Okri. Summing this whole thing up, we may have tried all there is, and it seems to be no help. I wrote this yesterday. Could I get you just to touch the hem of his garment? Just reach out. She was healed as soon as her brain told her arm to reach. She was saved by faith and not by the touch. It was the faith. It wasn't the touch. It was saved by faith. The whole crowd was touching him. Yet when that faith of the sick, poor, not important woman drew power from him through faith. And I read in a thing, I Googled the character of this woman yesterday in my office, and I read about this guy had wrote this, and I had to write it down. Faith moves us. We have to come through him through faith. Faith is what is our move. Faith is our move. You see, today, if you are to be saved, at some point, faith is what done it. If you're not saved, faith is what'll do it. The faith you put coming towards Jesus Christ is what will save you. Listen, he had on that garment, no doubt anything he had on could have had power. But I believe it was just a rotten old piece of robe. She could have touched me and nothing would have happened, Brandon. Not a thing. But in faith, she reached out and touched the Savior. This morning, I don't know your heart and I don't know your life. I don't know anything in your life. I don't know. You may have tried everything to get God to accept you. You may have tried teaching, you may have tried singing, you may have tried coming to Sunday school, you may have tried all these things, thinking he'll accept your works. Today is your faith. As we stand today and we sing a verse of invitation, can I get you just to try to reach? Just get your brain to tell your arm to reach, or in this case, your foot. No, you don't have to be saved up here. It's a great place. You can be touched right where you're sitting. You can be touched in your car. You can be touched anywhere. You can reach out to the Master where you are. But today I challenge you, do not leave this place not knowing in your heart for sure that you've done that, that you have reached out to Him in faith. You said, God, forgive me and cleanse me. Again, it don't matter the words you said. It's the faith. It's the heart. It's the faith to reach out knowing that the only help you can have comes from Him. You see, she had tried everything in the world. She had tried all the doctors. She had spent all of her money. She had tried all the she had tried everything there was possible. And then she heard about a man named Jesus. If you've heard today about this man named Jesus and you hadn't touched Him before, will you touch Him today as we sing?